Thank you.
For how many of you was that a new song? Holy Sound, we just want to thank you. So, I haven't talked at all about gratitude journals because I think they're lame. That's just me. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, right? So gratitude journals, it's like, how many of you can, just sitting right here in this moment, come up with 10 things to be grateful for? Are any of them deep or profound? Probably not. A few of you are more advanced, perhaps, and you would come up with something that is more than, God, they got my coffee right this morning. I'm grateful for that. I'm glad my car worked. Okay. Right? Gratitude has so many levels. And there's the level of kindergarten, when I can be grateful for the easy things. And then there is the level of gratitude where I can be grateful for stuff that actually makes me dig a little bit, where I can find gratefulness or find gratitude or find appreciation when stuff's a little bit challenging. I happened to swing by the office yesterday afternoon to drop off some groceries, because I do that, and Dick was there with the sign guys putting up our new sign. And it didn't fit. Okay. And then I'm talking to the sign guys about, so what do we do? Not that I'm calling this in, but you know. What do we do when a tagger comes along with a Sharpie and takes and makes decorations on our beautiful new white sign? And they said, well, if they use this, then they use that. And if they do this, then you, so on and so on. How can I find gratitude for that? Man, this gets complicated. Because finding gratitude for the easy stuff really is kindergarten. We, if you're in this room, you're inside that we. We are bigger than that. So we've been talking about gratitude for a whole month, probably longer than that. And today we're moving in from this place of gratitude, being grateful for our memories, our stories, everything that works easily. And also being grateful for things that challenge us and let us step into bigger life. So that's where we're going. Today's talk title is Expanded Livingness. And I was talking to my prayer partner yesterday, and she said, expanded livingness? Who said that? And I said, I have no idea. It showed up. I picked it up. She said, I think it was Troward. Tommy T, you know, my buddy. And so I went looking in Troward for what he said about expanded livingness. And it actually was really simple. In his world, life is expanded livingness. So we get as much experience out of life as we are willing to own. And if we want to live on the surface where we don't get any more complicated than the coffee that's actually hot and they put the right amount of chocolate in it, that's perfectly fine. I'm not denigrating that in any way. And there's so much more. So we've been on the Wednesday night gratitude class, which is not meeting this week because I'm not here. Yay. We have been looking at deeper levels of gratitude. So my encouragement to you, if you haven't been doing this kind of work, if you're looking at something in your life that's not exactly the way you would like it to be, see if you can find some gratitude for it. Because everything in our lives serves our not necessarily comfort. Everything in our lives serves our awakening. That's what it's for. It serves our evolvement. It serves our enrichment. It serves our ability to be more present and available to life. Okay? So if you want to get your face wrinkled up because we're not doing a Thanksgiving potluck, what opportunity does that present to you? What gift does that bring to you that is new and unique and bright and shiny? It gives you an opportunity to have an experience of life that you wouldn't have necessarily had if the silver platter had come out. Okay? So that's the setup. And gratitude in all things. In all things. Even the ugly, gnarly ones. And yes, we appreciate the easy ones too. But gratitude in all things. Does it mean I do it all the time? Oh, no, absolutely not. Do I remember when I screw up and pick myself up and go, oh, that's right, I know better, and try again? You bet. And I expect, I believe, I affirm that everyone else does too, to the best of their ability. And each one of us can do more of this at all times. So Friday night, I got to go see Trevor Noah in Phoenix. Yes, I know he was in town last night too. Did anybody go see him? Oh, man. I went Friday night in Phoenix because Saturday night is a school night for me. And I can't be up late on Saturday night. It just doesn't work. I've tried it. It's ugly. So I went Friday night with a friend, and it was in the big, great, huge arena in Phoenix where the Phoenix Suns play. So there were like 2,000 people there, or maybe three, I don't know. It was a huge thing, right? So I'm there, and I don't know who this man is, except I read his bio, and I was impressed. His story of being a mixed-race child in South Africa, which is not okay. And he took his experiences and he created the life that worked for him. And my friend that I was traveling with looked at me like I had four heads and said, you don't know he filled in for blah, blah, blah on the late night? No. Oh, yeah, he's got this huge following. I said, well, that explains why there are so many people here. Because I only know him from his bio, right? But anyway, he had these warm-up acts, and of course, the place was rocking and wild. And then he came out on stage. And his first monologue, I was fascinated. And of course, they have all the things on the slideshow thing that said, no photography and no live, you know, pictures, no pictures, no pictures, no pictures. And so, of course, he walks out on stage and everybody pulls out their smartphones and they're all snapping pictures. And he says, he's pacing like some talking people do, and he's pacing, and I'm going, please stop walking. And he's pacing and he's saying, get it out of your system. Take your picture. In fact, I bet if you go online, you can see a picture of me wearing this exact same t-shirt. And you don't even have to take it here. Get it out of your system. We get so busy documenting our lives, we fail to show up. And then he says, he was at a Beyoncé concert. I do know who Beyoncé was. He was at a Beyoncé concert. And there was some guy who was standing right at the front of the stage, somehow that he got past the guards and security people, and he was standing right at the front of the stage holding his phone up to Beyoncé, videoing her presentation, and he was so agog at his picture on his phone. When she reached her hand out to shake his hand, he couldn't let go of his phone to touch her hand. And he said, I wonder if he ever noticed he missed the opportunity to actually engage because he was so busy recording. And I'm thinking, holy cow, we do that. We do that because it's so easy to get fixated on the way we think it should be and fail to notice what is. Anyway, it was a great show. I had a fabulous time. It was ridiculously late when we got home Saturday morning. Because that's what happens when you go to Phoenix on Friday night in a show that doesn't actually start until 8:30 or 9. So I have a question. And this question comes up from marketing guru Seth Godin. And the question is your experience of gratitude more like golf or more like surfing? And you're going, what on earth are you talking about? He says, every golf scorecard has a map of the course on the back. Moving the location or placement of a hole is a big deal, accompanied by meetings and oversight. And it matters whether or not it rained last week. On the other hand, every wave is the first and last of its kind. It has never happened before and will never happen again. Golf is an endless journey towards elusive perfection. Surfing, on the other hand, is about wayfinding. A surf park with a repeating wave might be useful for training, like how not to fall off the surfboard. But it's not surfing. The question is your decision about gratitude and the amount of life you let yourself experience more like surfing, open to possibilities, or golfing? It must look this way. It gets a lot easier if you bring the appropriate mindset. It's really hard to surf with a putter. And we try. I mean, I know Hallmark Christmases. I know what Hallmark Thanksgivings look like, right? If it doesn't match that Norman Rockwell picture, can we live there and be happy? Can we live there and feel grateful for the experience? Yes, if we choose. If we remember we actually have that surfboard in our toolbox. If we remember we actually don't require the gravy to be just so in order to have that experience. I'm headed up to Sedona to visit with a friend. We've done this for like 20 years now. And we end up, we alternate. One year I go to Portland and the other year she comes down to Arizona. And because we've done this for so long, she said, I don't really come to Tucson. I don't want to come to Tucson. Is it okay if we go someplace else? And I had been thinking, God, I don't want her to come to my house. Because she's a difficult house guest. Because everything has to be just so. So I'm thinking, okay, what can I offer that would be attractive so that I don't have to deal with her in my house? And I'm thinking, and I'm thinking, and I'm thinking. It's like, okay, we've done Prescott, we've done Phoenix, we've done Tucson, Sedona. We haven't done Sedona. Yeah. We'll go to Sedona. And then she calls and she says, you know, I've been thinking about my trip, and would it be okay if we went somewhere else? Yes. That would be awesome. What are you thinking about? Oh, I don't know. You know, what about? And then she says, what about Sedona? And I said, oh yeah, Sedona'd be great. And then she says, but we have to go to Tucson so we can have Thanksgiving at that one vegetarian restaurant that we really like. And I'm thinking, we'll find someplace really nice to have Thanksgiving in Sedona. Oh, I really liked how they cooked the food there. I said, we'll find someplace really nice, I promise. Surfing or golfing? We get to pick every single time. So a quote from Rainer Maria Rilke that you know, be patient towards all that is unresolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves like locked rooms and like books that are now written in a very foreign tongue. Do not seek the answers which cannot be given to you because you are not able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer. Live the question, live the experience, experience what shows up. And don't demand that it look a certain way. This is a challenge, right? Because we like things to be predictable and safe and friendly and normal and ordinary. We like that. I mean, we're human. We like it. And yet, if we look at our lives, are things the same routinely, or are they different? What's true for you? What happens when you try to keep things the same? How often are you disappointed? Life changes. Changes are good, changes are not so good, but life changes. It's what it does. The biologists say stasis is death, which is a fancy way to say if it doesn't change, it's dying. Living is growing. Living is change. Living is growth. Doesn't mean it's comfortable. Ask that seedling that's trying to get out of that seed. Ask the caterpillar that's turning into a butterfly. It isn't necessarily pretty or comfortable, but it is what aliveness looks like. And so we are in this space of awareness, of being able to see that we live in this space of growth if we're willing to have it. So Keith's Saturday morning book group keeps working their way through Unity of All Life, Eric Butterworth's out-of-print text that I hope they actually bring back because it's quite extraordinary. Yesterday, they read chapter 9, From Conformity to Self-Reliance. And I try to read along, even if I don't show up on the Saturday class. When he published this book, it was 1969, which was the height of the Cold War, or it was just after the height of the Cold War. And so people were really fixated on security and safety. Because, you know, they had kind of come really close to blowing the world up. So it was exciting to think about being safe. So it's not a surprise that there was a huge interest in being safe. What does it take to be safe? And Butterworth wrote on page 141, security must never be a goal in life, unless we want to pay the price of complete imprisonment. We say this literally, for the only real secure person in our society, in terms of social security, housing, clothing, food, health care, insurance, old age, and retirement care, is the life-term convict in a penitentiary. He has gained complete security for as long as he lives. But at what price? So it's a rhetorical question. Can we live fearfully or from a mindset of always seeking security and have a grateful life? Not really. because we're going to be off balance, because our little storybook picture can't be met. That's not how the world works. Can we be open to living a bigger life? You bet. And we have to decide that that's okay. We have to grow into the space of being open and willing to consider a bigger picture. One of the things that we did last Wednesday night in the gratitude class was we watched a TED Talk by a guy named Rory Ledbetter, good Southern name, and it was called The Hidden Power in a Breath of Gratitude. And part of his presentation was, he called it a life hack, and described a whole bunch of scientific experiments and stuff that demonstrated why this was true, but also he shared his personal experience where he used this hack to have a better life himself. And so I want to introduce you to Rory's life hack, and then we'll put it to work. His first step, and of course his title is The Hidden Power of Breath in Gratitude. So it's about breathing, right? Okay, pay attention to how you're breathing. How are you breathing right now? What's happening in your body? What's happening with your spine? What's happening with your shoulders? What's happening with your, as Rory says, your beautiful belly? Are you breathing deeply? So his first hack, and he starts in a different place than I expected, which I liked. The first thing you do is you release your breath, which isn't to say you force it out, but you let it all go. You let the breath leave your body. And then you don't take a breath. You allow it to come in. Because we know nature abhors a vacuum. So if you have emptied your lungs, you have an air pressure difference, so there is space for air to come in. That's the first two steps. Release the air, let it leave. Open for more air to come in. And then notice your body. Notice what happens when you breathe. What happens to your shoulders? What happens to your neck? What happens to your rib cage? Does your breath expand and fill the back of your ribs? Try it. See what happens. Put your hands. I did this in a practitioner class a couple years ago. Put your hands on the back of your ribs and see if when you breathe, you're actually breathing deeply enough that the back of your ribs expand. Mostly the answer was no. When we did this in class Wednesday night, mostly the answer was yes. That was exciting because that meant people were actually in their body enough to notice what was going on for them, what was true for them. And then the part that was really sweet about what Rory was saying. So you're breathing, right? You're getting in your body. You're actually noticing what your experience is. And then the real gem of his presentation was you're getting in touch with yourself. You're noticing that you're actually deeply breathing. And because you've intentionally relaxed your shoulders, relaxed and extended your neck, opened your diaphragm, got your breath down deep into your body, then you connect with somebody outside of yourself. So you actually make eye contact with somebody else. And consider some way you could, will, choose to be grateful for them. Why would you choose to be grateful for somebody outside yourself? So let's practice. Let the air out. Bring it in. Relax your shoulders or your body, any place that's tight. Now make eye contact with somebody else. And think of them gratefully. If you can only appreciate the color of shirt they're wearing, do that. If you can appreciate them because you know something about them that makes you feel warm and fuzzy towards them, wonderful. Notice how it makes you feel when you connect with someone outside of you and focus your gratitude on them. Does it require that they focus their gratitude on you? No. Because it's an inside job. That James Taylor song, Shower the People You Love with Love, right? It's nothing about them. It's what we give that gives us that experience. And the little snippet from Lynn Twist and David Steinler Ross, what you appreciate, appreciates. What we put our loving attention toward increases in value for us. And it doesn't matter whether they reciprocate or not. It is an inside job, and we're the ones that serve. We're the ones that put it out. And I had to look this up because I didn't remember. 10 years ago, that movie Avatar, that scene where the blue lady was talking to the guy in the space suit, you can tell how much I care, right? What they said, though, I see you. Holy cow. I see you. I see you really. Is there any expression of gratitude bigger than I see you for real? I'm not sure there is. Because you have to be present in your own skin in order to actually be able to experience another and see them as they are and value that. So, Butterworth, again, security is a consciousness, something that must be built step by step, affirmation by affirmation, overcoming by overcoming. As the color of the spectrum can feel secure in knowing that it is, after all, the projection of light into one particular hue, so you can know that you are, after all, a child of God, a projection of the infinite indivisibility as you. God is the very reality of which you are a part, and in which you have your being, and with which you are, in fact, already one. And then Dr. Holmes, you've been expecting this one too. An attitude of gratitude is most salutary and bespeaks the realization that we are now in heaven. Gratitude is one of the chief graces of human existence and is crowned in heaven with the consciousness of unity. And we are in heaven now when we remember that. And when we forget that, we're not in heaven. And it's a construct. We did it to ourselves. There is a story. I don't think I've shared this story recently. And it's a story about a guy who dies, and he goes to this beautiful place that's just like, you know, Miraval in summer or winter around here. And it's just the most magnificent, gorgeous place he could ever imagine being, and everything is just perfect. And he's got this guide, and this guide is showing him around, and the guide takes him around, and the whole place is magnificent. And then they go into this banquet hall, and as they walk in the door of this beautiful banquet hall, it smells like Thanksgiving. they hear all this crying and whining and pathetic sounds and, you know, screaming and yuckiness. And they're in this magnificent place with this beautiful food smells. And they're and the guy's really confused, right? Why? How come it sounds like this? So they walk into the banquet hall where all the people are sitting around this table, and everybody's got a really long spoon. And it's so long, they can't reach their mouths. And everybody's pathetic because they're trying to feed themselves, and they're miserable and they're starving because they can't feed themselves. And they stand there and watch it. It's a little bit like the Scrooge story, right? And they finally, after a while, they leave that room and they go to a different part of this magnificent resort place. And they walk into yet another banquet hall. And the food smells are wonderful. And instead of crying and yelling and miserable, they hear the sounds of joy and laughter and celebration. It's like, well, this is much better. So they walk into the place where people are seated, and it's the same deal. Everybody's got this super long spoon, but they're feeding each other. We can do that. We can do that with ourselves, and we can do that with each other. When we remember that gratitude is something that we give. And it's the giving, in the giving, that we receive. Not in the receiving, it's in the giving that we receive. So, I think I'm going to stop with that. So remember to check your breathing. When you find yourself wrapped around the axle about something, remember to check your breathing. Remember to check your presence, because only when we're present in our bodies, like really present in our bodies, can we have an experience that's rich and deep. If we're distracted because we're taking a picture with our phone, we're not present in our bodies. We're not present to our lives. We're not present in our lives. And in this season of gratitude and thankfulness and the beginning of Christmas carols on the radio, it helps if we can remember to be present. So I'm going to close with a piece from Dr. Holmes and a piece from Kabir. From Dr. Holmes: I dwell in the house of love. My dwelling place is filled with peace and eternal calm. Love attends me in my home of the soul, and joy waits upon me in the secret place of the Most High, which is within us, right? My house is built for me by the hand of love, and I shall never leave this home of the Spirit, for it is always present in me. I shall abide in this home forevermore. And then Kabir, who was a 15th century Indian mystic, and I was reading about him last night when I was working on this, because I thought he was like a Muslim or something, a Hindu. And actually, he blew them off because he didn't believe in the religions. He believed in the direct experience of the divine. So he was more like us than he was like them, which is very cool. The guest is how he speaks of divinity. The guest is inside you and also inside me. You know the sprout is hidden inside the seed. We all struggle. None of us have gone far. Let your arrogance go and look inside. The blue sky opens out farther and farther. The daily sense of failure goes away. The damage I have done to myself fades. A million suns come forward with light when I sit firmly in that world. I hear bells ringing that no one has shaken. Inside love, there is more joy than we know of. Rain pours down. Though the sky is clear of clouds, there are whole rivers of light. The universe is shot through in all parts by a single sort of love. How hard it is to feel that joy in our bodies. Those who hope to be reasonable will fail. The arrogance of reason has separated us from this love. Simply with the word reason, you are already miles away. How lucky Kabir is that surrounded by all this joy, he sings inside his own little boat. His poems amount to one soul meeting another. These songs are all about forgetting. They rise above, coming in and going out. Remember the blessing you are. Remember the gratitude that wells from the center of your being. Remember, there's always more you can dig out. So when, in this next couple of days of family and people and performance and pro forma and so on and so on and so on, remember we get to remember the light and love that we are. Do that. Bless yourself and bless us all. Thank you. So now it's time for our community prayer. And around here we pray affirmatively, which means we speak the good we claim. So put in your heart, in your mind, that feeling of gratefulness that you had, that you have, that you wish to experience more of. Put that feeling inside your experience while I speak the words. Breathing in and out, settling into this space that is once at the same time very personal and small and unique to me, and also as wide as the sky. This one love, this one light, this one joy, this one peace, this one power, passion, love. I celebrate this experience I call life. And I know that even though I might get all wrapped up about what things should look like, beyond that lives great joy, lives great peace. And as I remember that, I have that opportunity to experience even more livingness. So I breathe and I let my body fill up with this gift called air. And I remember that as I have this opportunity, every single other person does too. Each of us has this ability to remember the divinity that lives within and to live from that space and to share that gift with their world, with our world, and to step into a bigger experience of life. So in this day, in this season of thanksgiving, of gratefulness, I feel great gratitude for the awareness of the opportunity to experience life. Enjoy peace and love. I relax, allow, and let this be. And so it is.
So it is.